Wednesday, December 28th, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is David Cruse with the Comstock Report. Why would Canada, as a major oil producer, mandate 5% renewable content in gasoline and 2% in diesel fuel? Because they believe in the science of global warming and climate change as the Northwest Passage opened, and they wish to contribute to a solution or attempt at one. They do not have the political pushback up there, as we do here in the U.S., against the science. This fall, Prime Minister Trudeau told provinces that they either have to adopt a carbon tax or implement a cap-and-trade system in response to climate change. They want cleaner air and a reduction in greenhouse gas. They also would like to continue development of tar sands oil, which is particularly dirty, so they need a carbon credit from somewhere to offset it. Some Canadian provinces are taking biofuel use further than the federal mandate. Saskatchewan is at 7.5% and Manitoba at 8.5% ethanol and fuel. Ontario has been blending 4% biodiesel, so much for biodiesel not performing in cold temperatures. Minnesota is pretty cold and has a biodiesel mandate too. Federal subsidies for most biofuels in Canada ended in 2015. Provinces have set differing goals of reducing carbon emissions, ranging from a reduction of 5% to 25% by 2020. They estimate that they will need 2.3 billion liters of ethanol to fill the federal mandate and have an estimated production capacity of 1.775 billion liters. They are an excellent ethanol export prospect for the U.S. industry. The Ethanol Producer magazine says that 77% of Canadian ethanol is derived from corn feedstock, with the balance using wheat. They have set a goal that biofuel use in Canada needs to reach 20% of liquid fuels by 2030 in order to fulfill their decarbonization goals for the country. Our other NAFTA partner is not so worried about greenhouse gas and climate change, but is investing in ethanol as a means to combat terrible air quality in Mexico City. Mexico's state-owned oil company, Pemex, has invested in sugar ethanol and is blending ethanol at a 5.8% ratio into motor fuel. In 2017, non-Pemex stations in Mexico will be able to import ethanol. They could run the pipeline under the new wall. Crude oil was trading above $54 a barrel, the top side of the range, looking for a reason to push through. In January, the expanded cartel is supposed to reduce production with their agreed-upon plan. Historically, rather than cap production at a target, the target has become a benchmark that production doesn't fall below, basis past experience. You can count on them to produce at least what they agreed to, and typically more. One would expect that oil consumers have acquired some inventory so that the tanks don't go dry next week. You're listening to the Comstock Report. 3, 2, 1. The idea of the gas war engineered by the Saudis was to break some oil producers. It has had mixed results. Tar sands oil is too expensive, but shale oil has been resilient. U.S. drilling rigs have increased for 8 consecutive weeks now as prices have recovered, and further improvement in the market will bring on more production. Ethanol has not been harmed by the decline in crude oil prices, and the industry is producing profitably at capacity. I filled with E30 Tuesday for $1.99 a gallon, where E10 was priced at $2.25. You get the same mileage from E30 as from E10, so 25 cents savings on a tank of gas, minus 25 gallon, is $6.25 consumers are passing up. This is a secret the oil companies don't want consumers to know. OPEC and the company are hurting, and the Saudi plan to put shale oil production out of business doesn't appear to have achieved their desired result. The loss of oil revenue is resulting in the Saudis, Russia, Venezuela, Kazakhstan, Azerbaijan, and even Norway to have to dip into their sovereign wealth funds to pay the bills. These countries are cutting subsidies and services to their citizens as austerity measures. The gas war came back to bite them. I have a footnote on weather in South America. I'm personally neutral on the weather impact there because the Enzo is neutral. Rains pretty much washed away ideas of La Nina, soaking dry areas in Argentina and southern Brazil. The Mato Grosso is in great shape. South America typically gets more rain than they need, so a slightly dry trend below averages is not harmful. Northeast Brazil had a terrible year last year from the El Nino. There's no El Nino either, so they should get along somewhat better this season. They are on the dry side, and the bulls are talking up dry forecasts. The crop is made in February in Bahia, where the concern now lies. After last year's short crop, the market is very sensitive to South American weather. I doubt that last year will be repeated. You've been listening to the Comstock Report. For more information and marketing opportunities, visit us in Royal Iowa online at comstock.com or call 712-933-9400.